This is the Big Stories Podcast, where we tell the amazing and inspiring stories from across the Big 12 Conference.
Welcome back to Big Stories. I'm your host, Cleon Wall. The top team topples while BYU and Cincinnati remain undefeated in conference play. So who's the top team now? And where does Texas Tech fit into all of this? That's all on the Big Stories Podcast.
The Big Stories Top 5 Teams.
We're now joined by producer Chase Davidson. This is just a reminder that these are our top 5 teams from Week 8. I'm not saying these are the top 5 teams of the conference right now. It's the top 5 teams from Week 8. We'll go back and forth. We're going to start out with Chase with his number 5 team, and then we'll go to my number 5 team. If we agree, or if they're at any of those same slots, we have to pick a new team. So, Chase, who's your number 5 team?
I got Cincinnati. Demolition Derby in Stillwater. Cincinnati keeps plugging along with a 49-17 win over Oklahoma State. I wonder when they will win a game over there in Stillwater.
But I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't know.
I looked at their schedule. I don't think they're winning.
their only win is against an FCS opponent. And so they do not have an FBS win so far this year. And the thing is, they're getting killed in every single game, too, yeah, which is tough. Anyways, I'm talking about Cincinnati here. But for Cincinnati right now, every win counts. And they are building a strong case for the Big 12 championship. And they are tied for number 1 in the conference. And I think that's big for them. Looking good. Halfway through the season, Cincinnati is tied with BYU for number 1 in the conference.
So they're your number 5 team. My number 5 team is Texas Tech. Yeah, I know they lost to Arizona State, but their defense kept them in the game. They probably should have been blown out for how poorly their offense played, only 276 yards of total offense, but they scored 15 points in a short amount of time to go up 22-19. I thought the defense was going to win it for them and that they were going to win this game, that Arizona State wouldn't be able to come back. Unfortunately, I don't know if Texas Tech's defense was gassed or what was going on, but ASU was able to go and score late, go up 26-22. Texas Tech did have one last chance from 28 yards out to throw a touchdown. Didn't work out. You know what? They still have to be included in the top 5. They're still really good. They were dominated for the good portion of that game, and they still almost won that game. That's why I put Texas Tech at number 5. All right, my number 4 is going to be TCU. I was going to put Cincinnati here, but they pummeled Oklahoma State, like you mentioned, Chase, 49-17. I guess that's why I left them out of the top 5. Don't come at me, Bearcats fans. I know you're good. By the way, it's the same reason I left UCF off of the top 5 teams this week. They looked impressive, but they played West Virginia. By the way, I'm not sure West Virginia is going to win a game this year in conference. So I'm giving it to TCU because they used a balanced attack to beat Baylor 42-36 in the revival game. TCU had 197 yards rushing in this game. Kavorian Barnes at 106 of those yards and 2 TDs. I would have put them up higher, but the offense gave up a touchdown on a Josh Hoover fumble, and then they also gave up a long TD pass to Baylor to give Baylor hope in this game. But TCU did look better than they had in weeks past. Who is your number 4 team?
My number 4 team is Houston, and I think this is their best win of the year to date. Happy for the Cougars as they really do have something going on this season. A game-winning field goal with time expiring propelled them to 6-1. Yes, the Houston Cougars are 6-1 in 2025. They play at Arizona State next week, and other than that, Houston has a pretty winnable stretch of games to end the season, and I would not be surprised. Now, they haven't looked fantastic against the one, you know, high-caliber Big 12 team they played in Texas Tech, but I still would not be surprised if Houston wins 9-plus games this season. That gives them 2 more losses in the last, 5 games.
I'm not going to take anything away from what Texas Tech did to Houston, but we have to remember that Houston's quarterback, Connor Wegman, went out of that game with an injury, and that really...
Sure did.
They were struggling on offense, and then they struggled even more once he went out of the game. So, all right, your number 3 team. Who did you have, Chase?
Number 3, I had TCU. I feel like, did we expect anything less from these two teams? Baylor falls 36-42 in a tightly contested game. You already talked a little bit about this game, but they had a massive second quarter, TCU did, and they kind of got a sizable lead there, and Baylor just couldn't overcome that. Despite Josh Hoover not throwing for 300-plus yards like we've seen almost every game, the Horned Frogs find a way to win this game, and I'm going to be talking about this more in a little bit, but like we see with rivalry games, the yards on the stat sheet is typically not telling of the winner. And it seems to be the irony of rivalry games. This always happens. It is turnover margin, turnover margin, turnover margin. Baylor had 4 turnovers in this game. I believe TCU had just the 1. So 4-1. And that is why Baylor, I believe, outgained TCU in this game, or very close. And TCU won it. Really helped, you know, stave off the Baylor comeback. Good win for TCU.
My number 3 team was Houston. I put them here because, yeah, I know they were up 28-14 on Arizona. I actually thought they had the game in the bag at that point. They gave up some touchdowns to Arizona. By the way, everyone out there, Arizona's dangerous. I'm not saying they're a bad team, even though they've only won 1 conference game. They're a good team. But they are able to come back, drive the length of the field. Connor Wegman, his legs and arm, drives him into field goal range, wins it for the Cougs, 31-28 over Arizona. That's why I put the Cougars at number 3. My number 2 team are the Cougars from BYU. Big win over a rival. They didn't think the Cougars would win this game. You know, what do I know? Apparently nothing. They're such an interesting team, Chase. They do just enough to win games right now. They're not perfect, but they're perfect enough to beat a rival at home, and that's huge. If the Cougars can figure out a consistent downfield passing game, they're going to be really hard to beat going forward. I think that's kind of what's holding them back right now. They do give up yards on defense. Doesn't always turn into points on defense, but they do give up some yards on defense. But they do just enough to win these games. And so that's why I put BYU at number 2. Who's your number 2 team?
Yes, and because you have BYU number 2, I'm going to be having Arizona State at number 2. Huge bounce back win for the Sun Devils, just as we thought Texas Tech was becoming immortal.
So you had BYU at number 2 also, or did you have
Arizona? Yes, I was going back and forth. I feel like Arizona State did have a better performance.
Let's just admit, that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, who do I put at number 1? Do I put ASU at number 1, or do I put BYU at number 1? The thing for BYU is they beat a rival at home, and that is tough to do. Arizona State, I mean, we can talk about that in a second, but I was going back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, Arizona State was, I mean, they were, again, not perfect, but they had the place to win the game. So keep going.
And it really comes down to, when we do this top 5, it's not like who had the most fun win. It's who played the best this week. And I think Arizona State played the best of any team this week. Anyways, I have them at number 2 just because of how we do things here. But star QB,
sure, blame it on me. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Star QB Baron Morton for the Texas Tech Red Raiders was out, which proved to be fatal, despite the backup Will Hammond not playing that bad. But throwing an interception inside of your own 25 for Texas Tech was a tough blow, and Arizona State capitalized on that with 7 points. The Arizona State defense forced a lethal Texas Tech offense to punt or turn it over on downs 8 times. Now, that is hard to do against that offense, even with Will Hammond. Texas Tech gave their best effort. They got a lead late. Arizona State got the ball down 3 with under 2 minutes to go, and there was no stopping a 10-play, 75-yard drive under 2 minutes. One of the most impressive.
It was impressive.
One of the most impressive clutch drives I've seen all year.
There was a beautiful 33-yard pitching catch from Sam Levitt to Jordan Tyson, and it was great because Levitt rolled out to the right. And then he kind of ran forward, and then you're like, oh, he's going to run. He's going to try and run for this. And then he just kind of stopped and just did this little fling. Mm-hmm. And Tyson's there. He catches it, and he's like looking backward and forward just to make sure that he gets to a good place in the middle of the field if they have to kick a field goal. They end up scoring the touchdown, but it was just really, really nice. Everyone knows now that my number 1 team's Arizona State. I'll just say this about them. Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire said this of the QB Levitt. That quarterback changes everything. He is a difference maker. And we see that not only in this game, but the week before when they played at Utah. I'm not saying they would have won at Utah, but it would have probably been a better game instead of the blowout that it was. He is a difference maker. You take him out of the game, and Arizona State is just not as good. And so that's why I had Arizona State too. Impressive win over Texas Tech. Not perfect, but perfect enough to beat Texas Tech. Your number 1 team is BYU, and you were at that game too.
Yes, I was at that game. And I will have to say about Arizona State too, I was proven wrong a little bit more this week. I've had my doubts about Sam Levitt being slightly overrated as a result of last year with Scadabo being so dominant, I feel like Sam Levitt was somewhat inflated by, defenses are playing run first, so when Sam Levitt throws the ball, he's got a huge advantage. No, I think legitimately Sam Levitt is turning into a great, great quarterback. And this game was massive proof of that, and the last game with him being out of the game. But yes, BYU, that was a fun game to be at. I will say that was a crazy loud game, and they beat their ranked arch rival at home in prime time. And BYU, like I said about TCU, in a few ways, they did not win this game on paper. But especially in a rivalry game, I will say it over and over again, there are a few stats that are far more crucial than total yards. One of them being turnover margin, BYU let in tackles for loss, sacks, very crucial, crucial moments. That turnover battle, especially in this rivalry game, the team that wins the turnover battle has won the game every single time since 2007 except for once. And I believe that was 2014, maybe 2016. I'm trying to remember on that one. But it is... And what's funny about that is a lot of times the team with more yards has lost the game. Now, not every single time, but if you look at the past five or six matchups, the team with more yards has lost the game because of turnovers. It is crazy to see. But the real story of this game is also the context that a true freshman QB, Barry Bachmeier, really proved to be a winner. He did not outplay Devin Dampier in some ways, but absolute crucial plays to keep BYU in the game. His poise on a comeback drive in the fourth quarter, down in an emotional game, was crucial and important for the Cougars winning that game.
All right, those are our top five teams of Week 8.
The big stories, five biggest storylines. Number five.
Number five for this week could have been my number one, but we can't wait to talk about it. What a time to be alive and in the Big 12 Conference. This may be the most fun conference in America. And yeah, I'm biased because we talk about the Big 12 all the time. SEC is pretty fun, too. BYU and Cincinnati are in first place. Who would have thought that at 8 weeks into the season that they would be on top of the Big 12? But those top two teams have really tough finishing stretches. Cincinnati plays Baylor, Utah, Arizona, BYU, and TCU. BYU takes on Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU, Cincinnati, and then home to UCF to finish off. We are pretty much at the midway point of the conference slate, and over half of the teams in the conference could claim that they can win it all or possibly be in the Big 12 title game if things break right for them. ASU, last year's champ, Texas Tech, the early favorite, and Houston, this year's upstart, all sit at 3-1 in conference play. Six teams are at 2-2 and could all still tie for the conference league best record by the end of the season. Utah, Iowa State, and TCU, they're all part of that group, and they're all pretty good teams. Arizona, UCF, and Colorado are all 1-3, and I'm not sure I'd want to play any of them on the road. They all have weapons, and I'm not going to be surprised if they upset a team or two. The only two bad teams are West Virginia and Oklahoma State. I'm not sure either team will win a conference game. That means 14 of the league's 16 clubs have, at the bare minimum, the talent to beat any other team in this conference. Again, this might be the most fun conference in all of college football. The only bad thing is that they might only get one team in the college football playoff because everyone's going to be beating up on each other.
Number four,
the Sunflower Showdown. Oh, how I wish the game between Kansas and Kansas State was more than just a game between a Jayhawks team, which is 4-3, and a Wildcat squad, which is 3-4. But both teams are 2-2 in conference, and both teams are coming off a bye week. The last time Kansas won this game was November of 2008. But the Jayhawks are hosting this contest, and the Wildcats are not ranked like the last three contests. But it's a rivalry game, so who knows what's going to happen? Let's get some knowledge on the Kansas State side of things with Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. This is one of the protected rivalries in the Big 12. For those of us who are uneducated, why is this rivalry such a big deal for the state of Kansas and the Big 12?
Well, yeah, I wish the Big 12 would protect non-in-state rivalries too, but this one has had a long history. I mean, and what kind of makes it unique is at one point, these were the two worst of the major power conference football teams. Late 80s, we called it the toilet bowl. It ended in a tie. The last play of the game was a blocked field goal that the players were scrambling to try to cover like a grease pig. It was a mess. And then, you know, it all started to change when Bill Snyder came around, and KU got a little bit better somewhere in there too. And they struggled a little bit later on, but this has been since Bill Snyder kind of got going, a heavily dominated series by K-State. Lance Leipold has made it more competitive for two seasons, but Kansas State has won now 16 years in a row.
Yeah, that's amazing to think about. Now, this Kansas State team, they lost to Iowa State and Baylor in heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah.
But they're also the same team that beat UCF and TCU. I'm curious, in your estimation, who is this team right now?
It's a great question, one we've been trying to answer. I think they're improving. Their Iowa State effort was okay, not great. You know, there was no context to it being a week zero game in Ireland. But when they came back and struggled with North Dakota, then lost to Army, which has proven not to be a very good team, we knew something was up. They just didn't mesh early in the season. It didn't look like they were very inspired, very motivated to play. It was really disappointing for fans to see that from a K-State team. Starting with the off week prior to UCF, you know, they seemed to have fixed something. They should have won at Baylor, losing by 1 point. They just didn't manage their second half lead up by two touchdowns. And in the second half, you got to protect that. They didn't do a very good job of it. And then they really did kind of handle TCU last time out before another off week, 2 of 3 for this team. So they corrected themselves on the first off week. Let's see if they screwed themselves back up on the second one.
Give us an update on the Power Cats rushing attack. I know Dylan Edwards was going to be one of the featured running backs this season, but he's had a hard time staying healthy. He had a huge game against UCF, but he didn't get very many carries against TCU. Yeah. How is his health, and where is K-State's rushing attack right now?
Sitting here today, I don't think Dylan Edwards will play. I'm not sure when he'll be back, if he'll make it back this season. But they did find some life last game out against TCU. Ran the ball. Joe Jackson, I think, ran for 110 yards. It was a kind of a slog. It was 4 yards a carry, and sometimes averages are very deceiving. This felt like 4 yards a carry. And he never really got loose, but they kept picking up first downs. And it hasn't all been the running backs. The offensive line has not been very good in the running game so far this season, and they've settled into a group that was kind of chosen in part because of injuries to other guys, and I think they found something that works pretty well for them. But also it's helped to get Avery Johnson a little more involved in the run game, because he is a serious threat that a defense has to stay honest with.
This is a defense that's given up quite a few points this season, yet they're still 2-2 in conference.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a team that figures out how to keep teams from scoring before the end of the season, or are we just going to have to live with the fact that they're going to allow teams to score and they're just going to have to score more points than them?
Yeah, that's probably it, honestly. They've moved back to a 4-man front. They'd been 3-man fronts the last 2 or 3 seasons. They'd been fairly effective, but they didn't like how it was handling the run game. So they went to this 4-man front. Unfortunately, they've been recruiting for 3-man fronts, and they're using their bigger defensive ends as a defensive tackle. And honestly, it's not working. It's not working at all. Some of the guys might fit the size you kind of want, but they don't have the necessarily skill set. So teams have been moving them out of the way pretty much at will. And that's going to be something they have to figure out how to solve heading into the second half of the season, or, you know, later into it. And honestly, on the back end, the safeties hadn't been tackling well. I think they finally found the right combination in the right positions. They seem to do a very good job against TCU of getting guys to the ground.
Well, Tim, it was a pleasure having you on. Where can people check out your stuff?
Check us out at GoPowerCat.com, part of the 24/7 Sports News Network, and on YouTube, a GoPowerCat channel. And we're constantly cranking out all kinds of content. We've got about 4 or 5 podcasts lined up for this week, so it's going to be a busy week leading up to the Sunflower Showdown.
Tim Fitzgerald, thanks for joining us here on the Big Stories Podcast.
You bet.
Number 3.
What's going to happen next, part 1? If you talk to most college football writers and analysts before the season, they probably would have told you that the Utah Utes were one of the favorites to win the conference. Give a lot of credit to Kyle Whittingham and what he's built over the years for that prognostication. Coach Witt usually has good defenses and solid enough offense to scare the best teams out there. Yet they're now 5-2 on the season after their rivalry loss to BYU. So what's going to happen next to the Utes? The good thing for them is that their next two games are at home, including a November 1st game against number 21, Cincinnati. But before that game, they've got to pull themselves together for the Rumble in the Rockies. That's what the rivalry was called when the two teams were together in the Pac-12. Let's be honest, neither of these teams were real rivals. Okay, they did play each other for the most part from 1903 to 1962, but then it was non-existent until the two teams joined the Pac-12 and just so happened to be in the Rocky Mountain region. Let's put that aside and focus on the fact that CU has their own brand of what's going to happen next in this game against Utah. The 1-3 Buffaloes picked up their first conference win against Iowa State. Their quarterback and skill position players looked really good, and they're coming off a bye week. Brian Howell of BuffZone.com joins us to talk about where the Buffs stand coming into this game against the Utes. This is a CU team that saw a lot of turnover in the offseason. New QB in Caden Salter, two of the top receivers in Sincere Brown and Joseph Williams were on other teams last year. Is this team finally finding out how good they are at this point of the season?
Well, we think so. The Iowa State game might have shown that a little bit. I mean, they have felt like they've underachieved a lot up to this point, but I think Iowa State maybe showed them that how good they are. I mean, the post game, after that game, several of the players like, yeah, this is one that can maybe turn the tide a little bit, because they felt like they let a couple get away against good teams in BYU and TCU where they had big leads and just didn't finish. So I do think we're going to find out. they've had a bye, obviously, but I do think that maybe that Iowa State game showed them a little bit of their potential.
Was there at least growth in the CU defense as they held off Iowa State after holding an early lead? You kind of alluded to it. They were up 14 against BYU, same against TCU, against the Cyclones. Granted, it was only a 7-0 lead early in the game, but then they were up 14-10 early in the third quarter. They hold off Iowa State 24-17. They had plenty of chances, meaning the Cyclones, to get back into this game in the second half. Is the defense improving?
Yeah, I think so. They gave up a lot of yards against Iowa State, but they also held them to 2-for-12 on third down. They had a huge fourth down stop. They had an interception in the red zone. So, yeah, they made some plays on defense that they haven't been making before. And I feel like the defense sort of kept them in the previous two games as well, and it was the offense not coming through. So I think that for the most part, this defense – the past three games, really, they've kind of shown some signs, but certainly against Iowa State, they made the plays. against BYU and TCU, they still gave up, the game-winning touchdowns, even if the offense wasn't doing anything. But I think Iowa State was definitely a growing point for that defense.
Where is the Buffaloes' rushing attack right now? I mean, Simeon Price hasn't played since the game against Wyoming. Michael Welch is the team's leading rusher with 277 yards, but his two best rushing days were for 67 yards against Wyoming and BYU. Dallin Hayden was the leading rusher against Iowa State with 58 yards. Caden Salter is the team's second leading overall rusher with 270 yards. Ralphie the Buffalo may have more yards this season than CU, and she didn't even appear in the first two games. So what's going on with the Buffalo's rushing attack?
Well, you got to put it in perspective. They were last in the country the last 2 years, just couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, they were under 70 yards a game each of the last 2 years. And, this year, I think maybe it's because I've seen the last 2 years, but their running game is actually pretty good. You look at the numbers and it's not, but I mean, based on what we've seen over 2 years, it's actually pretty solid. It's a Coach Prime rushing attack. It's not going to be Air Force, Navy, where you're going to rush for 250 yards, but they're solid. They've never really had guys with more than about a dozen carries in the game. I think it's only twice under Coach Prime that there's been somebody with at least 70 yards rushing, and one was Caden Salter against Wyoming. So they kind of cycle through some backs. They've got two guys that are hurt. I don't know how long they're out, but Dallin Hayden and Micah Welch have really done a solid job. And they've actually moved a couple receivers to running back to where those guys are helping out a little bit. And then Caden Salter, he helps that out quite a bit. So it is relative, but their rushing attack is actually pretty solid compared to what it's been the last 2 years. And I think they're somewhat happy with where it is right now.
And you could probably find that with a few teams here in the Big 12. I think you could say the same thing with TCU. They have a solid rushing attack, maybe not a fantastic one, but that's also because of their offense. This Buffalo game against Utah is interesting because I could see a mad Utes team or an emotionally scarred Utes team against the Buffaloes. For CU, they're coming off a bye. What's the one thing they worked on the most during this bye week so that they could potentially beat the Utes in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, well, first off, we'll find out. We haven't really had much access to them. We talked to the coordinators last Tuesday, but that was about it. But one of the biggest things for Colorado was getting healthy. And I don't know how injured their guys were, but they had the longest injury report in the Big 12 for Iowa State. And they had 20 guys out with injury against Iowa State. That's one-fifth of the roster. So they got to get healthy. You know, we mentioned the running backs, but there's key guys at a lot of spots. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, the other thing is, if they don't match Utah's physicality, they're not going to win that football game. And so, you know, that's why health is such an important thing. But they've got to, you know, really work on that physicality, make sure they're healthy in that regard, and really just kind of fine tune the things they've been doing. They've played good football for about 4 weeks in a row. They just only have two wins to show for it in that stretch.
Brian Howell of BuffZone.com. Thanks for joining us on the Big Stories podcast.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Number two, what's going to happen next? Part two. Texas Tech and Iowa State were a couple of other teams that many experts thought would have a good chance of winning the Big 12. Heck, I thought they should be up there too. After two straight losses, Iowa State can shake everything up with a win against BYU and Ames this weekend and could make things really interesting if they can beat Arizona State at home the following week. Like I said before, this 2-2 team can get themselves back into the conference title race pretty quickly. Texas Tech had so much success, even with their backup quarterback, that I think most people, including me, were surprised when they lost at Arizona State. And ASU handled them for most of the game. The great thing for them is they get to host Oklahoma State this weekend. They could play a lot of backup players and still win that game as long as they're in the right headspace. That's the key. That game against ASU was the first time Tech got punched in the face. They did punch back, but eventually they lost. This game will only be interesting if Tech beats themselves or is not in the right headspace. Now, the next two games will also be interesting after that, at Kansas State and home to BYU. After that, I would think they could beat UCF at home and at West Virginia after a bye week.
Number one.
So, who's the favorite now? I have no idea. My best guess? I still think it's Texas Tech. They have a manageable five-game stretch to finish the season. Arizona State, they showed they can beat the potential best team in the conference, and they have all that confidence from last season because they won the title. Two of their toughest games will be at home, this week at Houston, and the last game of the season against Arizona. The game at Iowa State on November 1st will also be interesting. Houston still has to face off against TCU and Baylor in the last two games of the season. Can they stay undefeated until they get to that point? Pretty fascinating. I've already mentioned the schedules of BYU and Cincinnati. I think each team will probably lose at least one game along the way, face off against each other. BYU's schedule is just killer the last five games of the season. It's going to be really tough for BYU to stay unscathed for the remainder of this season. And I've already also mentioned all the dangerous two-loss teams. That's why I say I'm not sure who the favored team is right now, and that's why this conference is so awesome. So much fun right now.
The Big Stories, top five quarterbacks.
All right, number five is UCF's Taven Jackson. He had 277 yards and two touchdowns. Granted, yes, I get it. It was against WVU, but he was coming off of an injury, so pretty impressive numbers by him in that win. Number four, Connor Wegman, University of Houston, 164 yards passing, three TDs. He also had 14 yards rushing for 98 yards and one TD in that game. Plus, as we mentioned earlier, he was really the driving force to getting the Cougars into field goal range to win that game for Houston. Number three, BYU's Bear Bachmeyer, 166 yards passing, one TD, 11 rushes for 64 yards, and a TD. That TD gave BYU a 10-point lead late in the game. Number two, Cincinnati Bearcats, Brendan Sorsby, 270 yards passing, three TDs, also had a rushing touchdown. And number one, ASU's Sam Levitt, 319 yards through the air, one TD, and he was fantastic in that win over Texas Tech.
The Big Stories, big man on campus.
I'm giving this to ASU's defense for holding Texas Tech to 276 yards in this game, only 109 yards rushing. Make sure you listen to Thursday's episode of Big Stories. The Cougar Tail is BYU's signature food item at Cougar sporting events. It's a staple for Cougar fans and visiting fans, but How did the idea come about? One of the creators of the Delectable Donut shares his story, and we take you behind the scenes of how they're all made. That's this Thursday on Big Stories. A big thanks again to Tim Fitzgerald of PowerCat.com and Brian Howell of BuffZone.com for joining the podcast. Download and subscribe to the Big Stories podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Cleon Wall. The Big Stories pod will return soon. Big Stories is a production of BYU Radio.